I really do believe it's from God, because I had no plans on coming here. Okay. But I was very excited when I got the opportunity, because I have two daughters, and one of my daughters is turning 16 tomorrow. So they're having this big sweet 16 thing in Miami. And I say, I ain't going. I'm not going. Know why? I got to spend some money. I know what y'all want me for. So anyway, you know, I've decided not to go. And of course, I'm hearing in no uncertain way that the family's not happy with that. But I have to work. You understand? That was my excuse. And so I'm sitting at my computer at work, and I get this message Monday morning. Can you, looking for a Father's Day speaker, are you available? So I look close at the computer, right? Because you know how they send out that group message, and I'm thinking, is he talking to me? Oh my God. So lo and behold, like the first thing I do was contact my wife and say, well, you know, Kelvin has asked me to speak, and baby, I don't know how I'm gonna turn that down. And she said, wait a minute now. Hold on. Hold on. You were not going to the birthday party, but you're going to go speak at the church. Okay? And this is where God came in. I said, listen, God called me. And Helena, I'm sorry, but when God called, I got to leave you. Amen? When God called, you got the answer. So without hesitation, I said, absolutely, brother. And for your information, I haven't slept since then, because every night I'm wrestling with, oh, God, wait a minute. Why did he choose me anyway? You know, that's what we ask when God calls us, and we shouldn't. And we shouldn't even be worrying about how we're going to get this done. Imagine for a minute being Noah, and you get the message that, look, I need you to build a boat the size of California. Imagine that email, okay? Hold on. But when God calls, he already has it worked out, folks. Amen? He already have the answer. And not only that, This also goes to show that, God can use, when you think God can't use you, look back over the biblical history, and he has always called on men that you wouldn't think he would use, including murderers and whoremongers and thieves. I mean, you know, when Jesus came, they questioned him. Why is he over there with the thieves and the crew? He said, that's who I came for. That's exactly who I came for. And so I'm so glad that this morning he found use for an old wretched man like myself. Because it certainly ain't that I'm such a dad, okay? Let's get that straight from the begin. It ain't that I'm old at. If you ask my daughter, she'll tell you he got some work to do. And so what I want to talk to you for a minute about this morning, I want to make 3 points, and then we'll be done, and then we can all go out and get in those long lines for Father's Day, right? Okay, maybe they won't be that long. All right. Well, anyway, I want to talk to you about how to be a good father. Not that I know. Okay? I got some points I want to make that I think might help us out, men. Okay? But the first thing we've got to do, I think, as men, as fathers, is I heard Pastor Baker talking about it. We have to set things back in order. We've got to get our house back in order, men. Okay? And so I'm going to be using the analogy of a garden. Because in the beginning, y'all remember that? God created the heavens and the earth. And man, did he show out. He showed out. You just don't understand how huge this God is. I was at my wife and I do a Tuesday night Bible class. And they had a guy there that was giving us a scientific perspective on how big this God is. We don't do him any favor. We minimize him. And if the earth was a golf ball, my God, do you know how many times you could put the earth on the sun? This had to be an act of some kind of supernatural power. But it goes beyond that, and I don't have time to get into it, but there's been a new galaxy called Canis Majoris. You with me? Look it up. It's bigger than the sun. And so, listen, God created that. This is the Father of the universe we're talking about. Folks, we can't even fathom how big this God is. So so he created the heavens and the earth and all the things therein. And then he did something that just blew his own mind. He said, you know what? I've made the beast of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. Something is missing here. And everybody's, you know what? I think I'll make a man. I'm going to create a creature in my own image. Amen? I'm going to create something. And so he created man, and he formed him from the dust. And where did he place him? In the garden. In the garden. Which means what, folks? Men, we are the chief gardeners. Okay? If there's a garden to be taken care of, and that's your family, we are the chief gardeners. When the plants in your family start to die, who's the chief gardener in this house? Huh? Amen. Amen. And then God did something else. He said, you know what? That's not good enough, because this man needs help. And so he went back to work and took a rib from this first man, our human father, first father, and he created woman. And men have lost focus ever since. I'm telling you the truth. Boy, let me tell you, if you wanted me to lose focus real quick, my. What a beautiful thing. Let's give it up. Any single mothers in the house tonight, raise your hand. Because let me tell you something. There are mothers out here that are doing the work of fathers. And so I want to just say, praise God for those strong mothers. It ain't easy raising children. It becomes that much more difficult when you're a single mother. And if you got boys, you know, boys are made of frog, snails, and puppy dog tails. So they can be tough. And anyway, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, they got together, and you know the rest of the story. And so your family, man, our families are the garden. We're going to talk about the garden, the importance of taking care of your garden. And then we're going to talk about how to. We're going to give you some how-to tips. If you don't know how to, Christine told me Kelvin tried his hands at gardening, but he didn't do so well. See, you got to know what you're doing when you start planting seeds, okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about, men? When you start planting seeds, I hope you know what you're doing. All right. Amen. And so we're going to talk about how to. I'm going to give you 10 tips on how to be a good father. You always hear Father, they messages, but nobody ever talks about, well, how do you do that? I'm going to give you some tips. And at the end, I'm going to challenge all the men, young and old, rich and poor. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge us to resolve to be a good father, okay? A good husband. All right. So we look at God from the gardening point of view, men, and now we know that we are the chief gardener. We are the ones that are responsible for making sure the plants are watered and so on and so forth. And our wives also have a role as a help meet with that. Okay? Amen. Now, God put things in order. The woman was made for the man. Amen? The woman was made for the man. And so the first tip, men, write these down in the your mental iPads and or physically. The first thing we've got to do, I'm talking to the husbands of the world, is love your wife. Amen. Now, ladies, men, we have a difficult time showing love. We have a strange way of showing our love sometimes. We got things to work on, men, okay? And so we can do better. And for the wives out there, help us out. We need help. We are hopeless romantic. We want to be romantic, but sometimes we just don't know what to do. Tell us. Help us out. Teach us. And in doing so, fathers, in doing so, loving your wife will teach, if based on the way you treat your wife, your children are watching that. Okay? So if you are disrespectful, abusive to her, that's what your daughter carries into her marriage. If you are disrespectful, abusive to her, that's what your son carries over into his marriage. So respect her, because you are, what we're doing is creating a pattern, a blueprint. It's not about so much about what we say to our children. It's about what they see us do. Most of the behaviors in our children are learned behaviors. If you smoke in the house, the message that you're sending, or if you smoke, period, is that, oh, it's okay to smoke. And so I work with adolescent kids, and I get to see these learned behaviors play out every day. And they are maladaptive behaviors, but nonetheless, they pick them up from their parents. And as parents, we tend to want to disown the what's not good about our... No, that come from his mama's side right there. That ain't, you get that from old... That's that other side of the family. And when they doing good, what we say? That's my boy. That's my boy. Let me tell you something. Whatever your children are, whatever they become, there's absolutely, positively no way that you had nothing to do with it. Okay? So if they become some rich CEO that goes on to change the world, you had something to do. And adversely, if they become Ted Bundy, I ain't going to say no more. All right, so love your wife. Treat her with much respect. Amen? Don't be degrading to her. If she see how you love and respect her, your son will do the same thing. Many children, some my wife don't even know about. Right, babe? I'm going to tell her one day. My middle son has, he recently married. And the kid has come to me over the years on many occasions and saying, you know, I want a marriage just like you and mama. I want a marriage like y'all got. Can you imagine how that makes me feel? Oh my God. My son is affirming that I've got the right thing. I got things in order. Now, my wife may not agree with that, but long as my son sees it, Ephesians 5:8 says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. And the Bible also says that wives should submit themselves to their husbands. Now, we get that one all twisted because we think we should be able to hit them in the head and drag them in our cave. And so, but basically, you know, my interpretation of it is that, you know, men wants to be respected. Okay? Don't diss your husband in front of the children. Honor him. Make him feel like the man of the house. In this economic environment we have in this country, a lot of men are out of work. How many men in here have been out of work before? Raise your hand if you've been out of work before. Listen, ladies, a man's work is his essence. And when he's not working, he feels inadequate. He feels less than a man. Don't beat me up because I'm not working. Help me out. I'm going through some things here. And so lift him up as your help meet. Also, you know, there's a part of that being submissive that has to do with the romantic submission. Amen. Every now and then, a man needs to feel next to his wife. Amen. He needs to lay down and touch her. Amen, Yolanda. And let me tell you something. At the end of the day, and when we've had our fights, there's a certain activity that just gets me back to my normal self. And men, women, wives, help us out in that respect. Number two, tip number two, here we go. Listen, don't expect children to be perfect, okay? Man, let me tell you something. My mom had 11 children, and God, sometimes you wouldn't know we were even related, okay? And so sometimes I think as parents, naturally we want what's best for our children, but to expect them to be perfect, you might be setting yourself up for disappointment, amen? Because driving your children to try to be perfect creates, look, from a mental health standpoint, these children become overachievers. And I have seen many, especially females, they come to my office and they're cutting on themselves and they're doing all kind of other, you know, sick behaviors. And it's because my parents are driving me nuts. Oh, my God. So children, parents, fathers, look, don't expect them to be perfect. And the other thing is I've seen is too many of us, and this could go both ways, mothers and fathers, want to try to live your life out through your kid. You know what? I didn't become the pro football player, but you know what? You gonna become one. Huh? I didn't become that great actress, but guess what? Guess what? You gonna become one. Let's don't do that to your children. God has already predetermined what they're going to become. Amen. As gardeners, as chief gardeners, let's just cultivate. Let's keep the plants watered. Let's do what we have to do to make sure we are creating nurturing environments. Helena, stand up, please. This is a plant that I've been growing for 16 years. That's my baby girl right there. Ain't she beautiful? 16 years I've been watering that plant. She's got 2 more years. She's got to water herself, okay? Cutting her off. Every child is different. And the bottom line is we need to show them love, Dad. We need to just be there for them. We don't want to make them feel, less than what they are. Children go through things, believe it or not. And I don't think as parents we listen to our children enough. And I'm going to give an example because I remember one night I overheard Helena talking about some things her friends were going through. And then she was talking about some, I said, Helena, your friends are pretty much, just like you, and y'all seem to be doing pretty well. She said, Dad, you don't know what I'm going through. You going through something? What? I didn't know. And see, if we don't talk to them, if we don't sit down at the table and talk to them and allow them to talk, you really never know what they're going through. They could be being bullied, dealing with any other type of childhood problems that as adults we tend to say, that's nothing. No, that's helping to form certain behaviors, certain thoughts that you will see come from them later on in life. Colossians 3:2 says, fathers, don't make your children resentful or they will become discouraged. Look, let's stop doing things, Dad, that make our children go in the room and close the door. Nothing worse than when resentment set in, hate is round the corner. Okay, so be careful. We want our daughters and our sons to love us, and that's why we must create the atmosphere where they can feel safe to speak their minds and so on and so forth. Okay? Amen? Point number three, enjoy your children. Amen? While you can, mom and dad, because it won't be long before, and especially if you got daughters like I do, that old Joe Bonehead done showed up. Now you don't look so good, Dad. I got another man that I'm looking at. And if we haven't done the right thing by nurturing and pruning, she may select somebody that don't quite measure up to your standards. Okay? And so don't go looking at Joe Bonehead. Look at yourself. What did I do where did you come from? Amen. So let's spend time with them. Lord have mercy. Helena is leaving me soon. She's my youngest, and my wife don't even want to talk about the emptiness. Okay? She don't even want me to bring that up, and I get a little emotional thinking about what's gonna happen when the children are gone. My God, what is? You know, before I got married, I really couldn't understand when men said, I'm staying in for the children. Really? And then I got married. And so now I get it. It's like, oh, my God, these children are what I live for. They are what I die for. You understand? They're the essence of my heart. So I'll stay with her a little longer. Amen. So let's enjoy our children. Don't be a burden to them. Don't avoid them. Don't ignore them. Amen? It's about the quality of time we spend with them. Amen? I can't say that enough because we've gotten to a point where we live in such a fast-paced society. And this is, not saying that there's anything wrong with the way the world is with technology and everything. But we tend to use gifts and material things now to hoping that they will suffice in place of the love that we ought to be spending. Now, be careful, because that child that you're not spending time with might be planting a pipe bomb in the room back there. You know, you can find these things on the internet. And so I want to urge you fathers, let's spend quality time with our children. Amen. As a man, you know, I work with young male adolescents, and they always, you know, I share my, you know, stories with them about my family. And, you know, every now and then somebody will say, Mr. Ramsey, so what if I come home with your daughter? Huh? What if I step up in there? What's the problem? You know, I don't see no problem. But I tell you what, I think I raised my daughter to know what type of man she has to bring home. I don't really have to talk to her about that. I'm the example. I am the standard. Helena, not saying that I'm all that. But I I need to see a decent young man, because then he becomes my son. Amen? So I have to raise him. So let's spend that quality time. And look, we live in the age of captivity of activity. That's a phrase that a friend of ours coined long time ago. Captivity of activity. Brother Baker, I bet you could use about 10 more hours in the day, couldn't you? Me too, man. Just not enough time. And we are allowing, what's happening is we are allowing the school system and the iPhone to raise our children. And we need to take them away. We need to get our children back and make a commitment to spending some deliberate, intentional time with them. I know I got to take this time out of my schedule. Trust me, it's going to make you feel so much better. I'm running out of time with Helena. Keep thinking about it. I'm trying to do more with her, but man, the world keeps calling. So enjoy your children, Father. Enjoy your children. Go to the, go take them to Disney. Yeah, bring them up to Disney, and then come by the house and let's break bread together, and just be one big happy family. Number four, listen to your children. Amen, fathers, listen to them. Let's not think that we cannot learn from our children, or that what they are saying is insignificant. You can learn a lot from your children. And again, I want to say that if you're not listening to them, they're going to be heard by somebody. Okay? So give them your undivided attention. Not, you know, I know as men, we tend to like to watch sports, and we have our certain shows and all that stuff. But if you want to do something really powerful when she's talking to you or when he's talking to you, turn off the TV. Give them your 100% undivided attention. That's being there. That's putting yourself there. And boy, that speaks volumes to the children. Amen? Our daughters are going to be going out, fathers, and then they're going to need to know what to look for in a man. So listen to them. Play video games with them. You know, do what you have to do. Get involved with your children. Go to the school. There is nothing in terms of, I'm also an educator, and let me tell you, there's nothing bigger than parent involvement. Trust me, listen, as a school counselor, we know what parents are not involved with their children, because they come home with failing grades and we never hear from the parent. Amen? Those children that have parental involvement, the teachers are very apprehensive about failing them, because they don't want to hear Mr. Ramsey come out there and start ranting about his daughter. So they pass her. Amen. Amen. So listen to them. Listen to your children. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. Listen to them. They're saying something. You can learn a lot from a child. Number 5, provide for your children. I'll say that again. Provide for your children. I'm not naive enough to think that every marriage is of God, or that every marriage is going to run its course. Amen. And so as fathers, that does not mean that we should not provide. Amen. Just because we're not with the children, still your children, aren't they? Well, then do what you're supposed to do and send the check. Stop playing around. Provide for those children. Amen. And not just from a monetary standpoint. You know, we live in a society where teen pregnancy happens. And the thing that I challenge young men to do is stay in the life of the child. Make sure your child calls you daddy. Daddy is intimate. Daddy suggests closeness. Amen. And so the kids at work, you know, most of my kids are fatherless. And so Yolanda, those are the other children I was talking about, by the way. And so I tell them, I am your father. I'm acting as not your counselor, but I'm your father figure. A boy without a father figure is like an adventurer without a compass. He does not know which way to go. And so he wanders the street. And what do? We judge them. Pull your pants up and do this and do that and that. Hey, how many of those kids have you invited in? Went into a local community and said, let me do a little something for the widow that has a son that she's struggling with. The call of fatherhood is great. Because, listen, even the animal takes care of its own. Amen? So what I'm challenging us fathers to do is we got to go reach out and grab some of these young men and bring them under our wings. And what I've found is that young men are eager for guidance. They just want somebody to show them. And it's a two-way, it's a win-win. I think it's just something so powerful about relationships and creating relationships. And God has ordered us to not just help your family, but help someone else too. Amen? And so, by all means, fathers, let's provide for our children. In whatever way we can, with love and so on and so forth. I was raised by a single mom. My dad, I did grow up calling him daddy, but the dirty, rotten scoundrel left my mom with 11 children, and I watched this woman to the day she died struggle to provide for her children. And she walked to work for 40 years till both her hips wore out. Knees had to be replaced. But she always came home and immediately made a meal for her children. I didn't like the liver that much. But boy, this woman was a virtuous woman. And so anytime I find myself getting down on myself about what I don't have, I think about Helen Ramsey, 11 children, single mom. And listen, far as I know, I don't ever remember her dating after daddy left. Just imagine you're out on a date and you say, now, do you have any children? Yes, 11. Hey, check, please. Got to go. So, mama, far as I know, I never seen any other men, and hopefully she was just being careful about who she brought around. All right, daddies, number six, train your children. Amen. Ephesians 6:4 says, and fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Children, how many children in here, raise your hand, your parents make you upset sometime? Just put your hand in it. Look at that. See, say that. Now, y'all, the Bible said don't do that. But what do? We just yell at them. We make them, we get them all bent out of shape, and we shouldn't do that. So we got to work on that. I am not innocent of that. Amen, Elena? I know I get down on the case sometimes. My wife say, now why you have to say that? And my wife and I have these fights because every time I come down on the children, she come and rescue. Hey, don't rescue them. Let me get them. And that's the mother in her. Amen. So, Helena, you better be thankful for your mama too. Amen. Let's train our children. Teach them to respect the authority in the home. Man, I work with these young males, and the lack of respect for authority is just clear. It's evident. And then they grow up and they don't respect women. And all of this is a result of the gardener, the chief gardener was missing. Amen. There was no one there to cultivate the plant, to train the plant, to water the plant. And so now it does whatever it's able to do and is and developmentally that it can do. And so we must be trainers. Amen. Teach our children that there are boundaries. Across this line, you do not. Amen. None of that talking. My mom didn't play that talking back. And I'm proud of mothers that don't put up with it. You know, I'm proud of fathers that say, hey, you know, stand down, stay in your place. And this is why it's important that we create a forum every now and then. And we could do better about this in our home as well. We need to have a meeting, a family meeting. And in this meeting, this is a time where you can speak your mind without repercussion. You need to create that for your children because you know what? We think we all that as daddies. And so one day I asked my daughter, I asked Helena, I said, so Helena, on a scale of 1 to 10, and 10 being very good, how am I doing as your daddy? She said, Dad, I'll give you a 7. I said, I'll take it. And I'll take that because I know there are some things we need to work on. And so, look, spend time. How many children in here feel like your parents could be better? Raise your hand. Yeah, okay. Go home and tell them. Parents, we must not be so proud and be so strong-armed that we think the children can't teach us a few things. So sit down with them and create this meeting where this is a time you can say what you want to say without any repercussion now. Don't get mad at them. But make sure they know after this meeting, don't think you can just keep saying that now. That was just this meeting. And that's why we need to have those meetings often because you want to know how you're doing. Don't you want to know how you're doing as parents? I'll tell you what, ask your children. They will tell you. Amen. So if you are training them, then every now and then do a evaluation to see how the trainer is doing. Amen? And don't be the kind of parents that, fathers that make idle threats. Okay? Let's be men of courage. I don't make threats to my daughter about taking the door off. And if I'm going to do it, I really don't say it. It's just done. Amen? Because it's about actions. Amen? So let's be afraid to confront our children when we see them being influenced by a certain group, going down the certain road. Let's stand up to them. Because the less you do it, the more they're going to try to get away with. Children are master manipulators. Okay? They learn that in infancy. Am I saying that right? Infancy. You know, the baby is crying, and after a while it learns that, you know, every time I cry, they come get me. Ah, I'm on to something here. And we got to leave them in the cradle sometime. Amen? Amen. Train your children to respect authority. Earn their respect. Be consistent. Discipline them with love. We got to discipline these children. Amen? We must teach them discipline. Now, I want you to understand, fathers out there, there is a difference between discipline and punishment. I didn't say anything about punishment. This word discipline comes from the word disciple. Amen? We must teach our children to obey and how to respond to certain situations and do so with love. That's a tall challenge for a lot of people, especially those of us who were raised. And you know what? I got a form of discipline. I got this extension cord back here. I got some discipline for you. Now, you know, that's old school. And they'll call DCF on you if you pull that trick today. So we you know, but discipline them. Don't spare the rod, but don't go overboard either. Amen? All right, number 7, pray for yourself. Look, you can't do this. I can't raise them children, but Lord have mercy. If something ever happened to my wife, Elaine, I might have to send you to your Uncle Kelvin and Aunt Christine. I don't know what to do with these children. And so let's pray. Men, let's pray. Lord, help me with this child of mine. Keep me from choking him out because he's getting on my last nerve. And I need your help, Lord. I need your help with them. And God will answer. That's an honorable prayer. Look, don't think that you can raise these children without God. You know what I mean? You will have a house of chaos and confusion. So you got to ask for help. Seek the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Amen? Amen. In a world where children are drawn to what's negative. Man, the media has a way of portraying things to our children that are negative, but boy, it sure look like what the hot thing is. You know what I mean? And next thing you know, your children, if you're not spending the time with them, are caught up in the world. Amen? They come home and you say, what? Is that a nose ring? What's that in your head? When did you do that? When did you get a tattoo on your head? Hey, that's what's happening, Dad. You ain't know. Better ask somebody. So let's pray for ourselves. We need help. We need help, Father. Number 8, pray for your children. Psalms 55:17 says, evening and morning, and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And I'm talking about pray for your children, not when they are, when they have gone down the road, when they've gone astray, as in the prodigal son little skit we did, pray for them now. Amen? Don't wait to pray for them. Pray for those children now. I'm so glad I had a praying mother. And I believe her prayers were heard. So pray for your children. Lift them up to God for them to do what you can't do. You can't be with them all the time. Our children are with us not much during the course of the day. So who are they with? Who are influencing our children? We got to pray that they make good decisions. They make hundreds of decisions today. And they're going to make some mistakes. Just get ready for it. Okay, parents? Okay, fathers? Your children are going to make mistakes. Now, there's a very big difference between my two daughters, Helena and Rosalind. They're almost like night and day. One likes meat, one likes bread. Okay? But there's one that, boy, let me tell you something. I ain't going to call her name either. This girl break everything she get. Computers, phones, lamps, pets. She just and what can you do? I just have to go pray. Lord have mercy. Jesus Christ. Help me out, Lord. I just bought that. So let's be patient with them because they're going to make mistakes. We did, right? Y'all know we broke a few windows coming up and did some things that were just mistakes. So pray for your children, fathers. Number 9, be a positive role model. Amen? I wanted to show a clip. How many of you, by show of hands, have seen the movie clip Courageous, the movie? Powerful movie. I want to encourage the men tonight. I want to encourage you to go home and see that movie because it's about how fathers struggle with just being fathers. It's an excellent movie. I don't think it's boring at all. And I was going to show a clip of the movie. Amen. This is how sometimes Satan works. Amen. I was going to show a clip of the movie. We go out last night, and by the way, those are my other daughters. Y'all stand up. All my daughters back there. Come on, stand up. They're in town. Give them a round. These are also flowers that we are planting. Thank you. So we're out celebrating Helena's birthday, which is actually tomorrow. And so we're having a good time to the Bill game. And we still had a good time. And so we get home, we get to Pastor Baker's house, and I say, okay, where's my backpack? Oh, my wife says, in the back. Oh, okay. And then the kids get out and say, okay, where's my suitcase? It's not back there? And somebody else say, where's my suitcase? Folks, we were robbed last night in the parking lot of what is it? Tropical Bahama Breeze. And I said, oh, my God. And so this morning between 1 and 3 was a time of, as a father, I had to just keep my head so everybody else could be okay. Ooh, I was hot. I took my shirt off and walked down the street. I'm looking for them. 1 in the morning. Anybody. But you know what? God is so good. And I'm so proud of them for not, you know, becoming overly distressed about it. Look, these are items of clothes. There were some other valuables that were taken. But God has a way of providing that you just would not believe. Amen. And so let them have it. We are here safe and sound this morning celebrating God's word. Amen. 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 So that's modeling. I'm trying to model what a man should do in this situation. Keep your head, Dad. Amen. And finally, men, let's prepare our children. Amen. I was with my son one day, and he said, this is before he got married. This was the greatest thing I've ever heard one of my children say. And my son looked at me in the backyard, and he said, Daddy, I want to be like you. Oh, my God. Wow. That was so powerful. What that did was make me want to become a better father. Amen. That's why we got to spend time with them. So let's prepare our children. Proverbs 23:24 says, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad in him. You want your name to carry on. You want to be proud as a father. Well, listen, let's prepare the soldier, because he's getting ready to go into battle. Amen. He's young. He's strong. He's a warrior. We want him to go out. And when I hear about the good things, the honor will come on to Daddy. You will be a proud father. So let's prepare them for what we have coming. Prepare them for the life away from the big picture. Spend time by preparing them for eternity. How do we do that, fathers? We must be spiritual examples. Amen? We have to be the spiritual leaders of our homes. Amen? We are the chief gardener. God has given us what I call the greatest responsibility of mankind, and that you are going to be the head of the house. Amen. God is the head of the church. He has given a man the responsibility of being the head of the house. I want to think that this is why a lot of men run from it. Amen. Because Brother Baker, you know what? I'm just going to close here, and I want to go back to my analogy about the gardener. Amen. Your family is a garden. Now, what we are seeing a lot these days, I don't know if you are, but I am, a lot of people are going back to gardening. Amen? Have you noticed the trend? People are planting again. Well, the way I was raised, I don't know about y'all, but we went and picked our potatoes out the yard. Amen? We picked peas, and we planted corn, and we plucked watermelons, and we raised our food. This is hard work. Amen? And so what has happened is we say, you know what? I could do that, but I'll just go to Publix. That's too hard. And it's the same way with the family. Men run because, you know what? Ooh, Lord, them children driving me nuts. I'm out. Yeah, you coward. Run. Run. But what does that say about you? My challenge to the men tonight, stand strong. Stand up, men. All the men, stand up, please. I just want to do one last thing, and I don't know if you were going to resolve to do this or not. Boys, stand on your feet. I want to challenge you with this resolution. Amen. And just say it in your heart, and it reads, I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself and my children if and when I have any. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife if I ever marry, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all their hearts and all their minds and all their strength. I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes and repent of my sins and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, to be faithful to his church, obey his word, and do his will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life. And if you are with me, men, repeat after me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you very much, my dear brother. Amen. And we appreciate those great words of wisdom, great words of instruction to the men of God and the men here and those aspiring to be fathers. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Our time is moving on, and we do have a special time of prayer coming up in a few minutes. At this time, we're going to pause for our offering. For our offering at this time, we'll have a couple of the ushers also to remove the podium here, remove the podium, and we'll prepare for our offering at this time. Amen. Brother Sam. Amen. 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 Where's the musicians? Come on, please, please. You guys need to stay up here so Pastor ain't looking for you. Amen. 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 Let us prepare at this time as we partake of the offering. Father God, we thank you for all that you do, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you will provide and meet every need, Lord God. Father, as we take the offering that we have for you today, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that everyone would find it in their hearts to give of their tithes and their offerings into the storehouse. And Lord God, how when we count our blessings, Lord God, and name them one by one, Lord God, it always surprises what you've done. But help us today, Lord God, to take this offering, this sacrificial gift, Lord God, that we are presenting today, Lord God. We present it today, Lord God. We're placing it in your nail-scarred hand, trusting, Lord God, and believing, Father, that you will supply and that you will meet our every need. So we take this offering now as a seed, Lord God, that we're planting today in your vineyard. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Everybody participate today in giving, in giving, in giving, in giving to our Lord.